While everyone waits for the guy to get the guitar strap on, right? Good morning. It's so good to be with you this morning. Happy Mother's Day. And to all of you who aren't yet mothers or those who are here this morning and you are a lady, I just want to say to you this morning, we men, we couldn't live without you. Could we, men? We are so thankful for you, and we are so thankful for the body of Christ and the way that God has given us each other. And he just gives us gifts, and I'm so thankful to be here this morning with you. And I want to share a song with you this morning. Is that okay? Awesome, awesome. I understand Trevor was here before, and I'm just going to do one song this morning, one of my originals, and then I'm going to bring God's word to us this morning. But this is called Passion and Fire, and I'll share a little bit about this story in just a little bit. And I just pray that as you listen to the words of this song, that God would speak to your heart. And it just talks about as we make our way back to Jesus, and we're always on a journey. There's something about when we're home, and my home is, I call this area my home. It's in the GTA, and I'm from this area. I get to travel and stuff, but it's good when you're home. There's something about it, and we're all on a journey toward home, and this song is called As I Find My Way Back Home, Passion and Fire.
Love is what you came for, it's what you ask for above all else. Love is all that you knew, it's what you clung to the cross. How did I think that I could ever repay you when all you want from me is a heart that burns for you? Now you are now my passion and fire. You are my heart's desire. As I find my way back home, love is what you came for, it's what you ask for above all else. It was love was all that you knew, it's what you clung to upon that hill. And how did I think that I could ever repay all you want from me is a heart that burns for you? Now you are now my passion and fire. You are my heart's desire as I find my way back home. And I remember all the things you said, remembering the times I missed you as I find my way back home. I'm feeling carried away by thoughts that I cannot take. I know you're calling my name. Oh God, I want to make my way home. I'm feeling carried away by thoughts that I cannot take. I know you're calling my name. So God, I want to make my way. Want to make my way home. passion and fire. You are my heart's desire, Jesus, as I find my way back home. And I know that I will be alright, as long as you will hold me tight, Jesus, as I find my way back home. Now you are now my passion and fire. You are my heart's desire, as I find my way back home.
Wow, thank you so much. Thank you, honestly. It's so good to be here. I'm sure all of you are thinking, you guys, his sisters must have taught him to sing that high. Think of some of those falsetto soprano notes. No, it is a joy to be able to sing for the Lord and just being here this morning already, seeing the worship team serving and being a part of just what God is doing here at Fellowship Baptist Church.
Wow, thank you so much. Thank you, honestly. It's so good to be here. I'm sure all of you are thinking, you guys, his sisters must have taught him to sing that high. Hitting some of those falsetto soprano notes. No, it is a joy to be able to sing for the Lord and just being here this morning already, seeing the worship team serving and being a part of just what God is doing here at Fellowship Baptist Church. It's exciting, isn't it? We look outside the walls of this church, this beautiful church, and look outside how beautiful it is. We see that spring is here and we're already into a new season. And as I'm reminded that with every season, God's mercies and are new every morning, aren't they? Every morning we wake up, we have the opportunity to make a difference for Jesus. Every day we plant our feet on the ground, we have an opportunity to say to him, I will worship you with my life. I will worship you with my songs, with my resources, whatever that might be for us today. It is so good. And if you have your Bibles, why don't we turn to God's Word this morning? And I want to share a little bit with you from a passage of Scripture that's near to my heart. And I'll tell you, just looking out today and being Mother's Day, I one of my favorite seasons is spring. And one of my favorite memories of growing up was going to my grandmother's house. Going to my grandmother's house, and my grandmother, we would stay at my grandmother's house and as kids, and we would listen to my grandmother read Bible stories. She would open God's Word, as I know you open God's Word here at this church, amen? And she would open God's Word, and she would speak to us from the Scriptures. She would talk to us. She would tell us stories. She would remind us of who God is and how great he is and how he's created us and given us a heartbeat to worship him and to give him everything that we have. And one of those stories that she used to read to me is a story that maybe you know as well. And I'm going to share a bit of this story just briefly this morning. And it's from Luke chapter 10. If you want to turn to your Bibles there now, Luke chapter 10, verse 25 to 37. It's a passage that we all know very well. And it's the passage of the Good Samaritan. My grandmother would read this to us. And, you know, at the time, I was just a young kid. And I grew up in a traditional church. And my wife and I, we just were on staff for 10 years at a fellowship church as well. A Fellowship Baptist Church for almost 10 years. And we love that church community. And when we're home and I'm not traveling, we still love to be a part of it and to worship together with this family. And as a result, just think about this morning about how what Jesus wants to say and from this passage of Scripture in Luke's Gospel. And this passage of Scripture, when I was growing up, I used to hear just one part. And it was the part about love the Lord your God, fill it in for me, with all your heart, soul. Right. And what's the latter part of it? He says, and the second is just like it, and it's Love your neighbor as yourself. So this one passage just talks about this. And I think, first of all, I want to say that as a follower of Jesus myself, if we want to be followers of Jesus, there's really two main ways, two things that we have to make sure that we are doing as followers of Jesus. And it's best accomplished in these two ways. One is living out the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 19 to 20, which we've all heard this chapter before. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And the second one is this chapter from Luke, where God talks about what it means to really love the Lord your God, and it says in Luke's gospel, and in Matthew 22 it says this, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So before I read this passage of scripture, let's just pray together this morning. Jesus, we thank you for everyone who's here this morning and for your presence here already. I thank you for the worship team that led us in songs. And Lord, how do we live this out and how do we hear your heart today? And I pray that in Jesus' name that we would respond to your word, to your heart. And Jesus, for this church, for your bride, I pray that you would encourage her, prepare her well for when you return. And that is our goal here today, that we would become more in love with Jesus at the end of today than we did when we walked in the doors this morning. We love you. Let the cross be before me this morning. Pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Let's just read this passage together. I'm going to read it. Picking it up at verse 25, and it says this, and behold, a lawyer stood up and put him, Jesus, to the test, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he, Jesus, said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jericho to Jerusalem, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. Some of the translations say pity. My version is ESV, and it says compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. There is something amazing about the letter of Jesus, isn't there? The red letter. When you read that, I don't know about you, but always right away, when it's read in my Bible, how many have it read in your Bibles this morning? Just raise your hands. Okay. When we have our apps or our iPhones, I always color code it so that it actually shows red through the apps. But when I see the red letter of Jesus, I immediately pay attention because I'm going, this is the words of Jesus. He is saying something here and he's trying to tell us something. When you look at this passage of scripture, many of us have heard this lots of times, and even myself, as I said, this verse, this man is desiring to justify himself, and you see that right away, that there is something he's trying to do, and he's trying to catch Jesus. And then in that day, they would have been experts in the law, and they would have been trying to catch this man who called himself Jesus. And Jesus responds by saying, not only do you love the Lord your God, but you love your neighbor as yourself. And you have to ask the question, what does that look like? And realizing that in the Mosaic law, which this was at the time, the cross had not been completed yet, and Jesus had not gone yet to the cross. And so we get this picture that this man is trying to trip up Jesus, and he's trying to say, What do you want from me? What more do you want? And it's almost like he's drawing a line in the sand, and he's trying to just say, well, as long as I love the Lord my God with all my heart, that's good. But Jesus tells us it's so much more than just loving God. As a Christian, I gave myself my life to Jesus at the age of 18. I still remember that day. How many remember when you gave your life to Jesus Christ? You remember that day so clearly? And I remember when God gripped a hold of my heart at the age of 18 and finally reminded me of my need for Jesus. And at that age, I would read the scriptures and I fully didn't understand. I thought I was a good person. I thought, okay, as long as I kind of have Jesus and I hold Jesus and I do the right things and I follow a checklist, then I'm good to go. And I felt like a lot of times that as long as I just did the checklist of things, then I was good. And this is what we see here is happening in this passage of Scripture, folks, is that this man, he knows the law. And so when Jesus tells him this story, it's very interesting because there was a lot of religious and cultural hostility that happened between these two groups, between the groups of Samaritans and Jews. And I have a picture on the slideshow here of when I had an opportunity to go to Israel. And I had an opportunity to see these roads. And when it talks about going up to worship on the mountain, and if we just want to pull that PowerPoint up there, Chris, and I'll just share this. When it says you go up on the mountain, you literally go up to worship. It's a straight hill up. And this journey down to from Jerusalem to Jericho, it would have taken about 8 hours if you're a fit hiker like our pastor here. And this journey was full of a lot of rocks and jagged places where robbers could hide. And Jesus knew that this would challenge people to really think about what he was saying. Because here's why. Because at that day, it would have been a shock for Jesus to read this passage. Because of all the people, as we see in Scripture, who shouldn't have responded to this man who was beaten and stripped and robbed, it shouldn't have been a Samaritan man. That would be like if you were in the northernmost parts of, let's just say somewhere up in Haliburton or somewhere way out there. How many have been to the northern parts of Ontario? Just a lift of hands. And you're traveling out there and you are like, you get stuck on the side of the road and things get worse. And then you're overnight there and no one comes along. And the next thing, some people come along. They're a bunch of thugs and they beat you up. You know, and you're there, and you're trying to figure out what to do next. And then along comes, you know, a man, and it's a man of God. It's a man who's supposed to be someone who can help you. But you know what? Here's the thing. You're a Jew, or let's just say you're a Muslim man or a Muslim woman. And the next thing, you look and you see this person, and you reach out, and you're like, help me, I need help. And the one who's supposed to respond is the priest, right? He's the man of God. He's the one who should be responding to the needs of this man, of yourself. And along comes another man, and we know the story. And it's a Levite, and he's an assistant to the priest who helps people to worship. And he also, it says, passes by on the other side. He sees him and completely walks by on the other side. You're wondering, why do I share this story on Mother's Day? Why do we share this story? I really do believe this morning, church, that if we begin to understand what is happening in this passage of Scripture, and we begin to understand what it means to truly live out by fulfilling the Great Commission, as we're told, and to obey the Great Commandment, we will begin to see the heart of Jesus begin to move in our families, in our churches, in our hearts. And I've seen it in my own self, in my own life, in my family's life. Sometimes life is a bit messy. It's a bit confusing about how it looks. How do we respond? But if we can get burned into our hearts what it means to love God supremely and love people sincerely, we will truly begin to capture the heart of Jesus. So we ask the question, who is my neighbor? What does it look like to be a neighbor to someone? I know that when I was growing up, I always had a heart for people that were misfortunate or didn't have everything together, or they had they had a lot of junk in their life. And I don't know why, but God always gave me a heart for people. And I never knew that years later that I would have the opportunity to be able to travel and to be able to see and to be able to be Jesus' hands and feet. Like many of you have here today, how many have been on a missions trip overseas? Great. How many have been serving in your community right here, serving the needs of the poor, serving the needs of your church community, loving one another? How many? Great. This is what it's really all about, is learning how do we capture what it means to love God and to love our neighbor, person who's beside us. It's not about geographical location. It's about awareness. And so when I was a little kid, God gave me this heart in an early age. And I grew up in the church. Folks, can I tell you, I played the game. I drank the Kool-Aid. I went through the motions. And I was a pastor's kid. My dad and mom, they were evangelists. My dad, we had a television program. And I'll never forget growing up in the church. And the church is so great. How many people, kids, are here today? Look at how many kids were here in the service earlier, right? We've got so many beautiful and young children that are looking to you to set the example. And so I grew up in this church learning what it meant to love God, and yet it never really sunk in until I was older. And when it finally sunk in, I began to realize. And then one day my life was changed completely by Jesus. But even beyond that, I said, Jesus, what can I do to take my little bit that I have? I don't have a lot of money. I'm going to Bible school. I have very little resources. I don't have a lot. But I offered to the Lord what I had. And maybe that's your prayer this morning. Maybe that's something you've prayed before. It's Mother's Day. You should be receiving a gift, right? From your hubbies or from your grandchildren or... To be able to know that Jesus Christ is the one true gift that has given us the gift of himself. Amen? And when we began to capture that, we began to move in a direction that God begins to spin our life in a direction that follows Jesus. And we say yes to Jesus with everything that we have. And I said that. I prayed that prayer as a young teen. But it wasn't until later that I saw that began to come to fruition. And I'll never forget, I was invited one time on this trip with Compassion, and I got to visit down in this country called Dominican Republic. And when I was there, I'll never forget this moment that I had. My wife and I'll never forget as we climbed up this dusty, dirty trail. And you know, I had sponsored a child with Compassion a while before, and I thought I was doing good things. You know, I thought I was being a neighbor. I thought I was doing the job of loving God and loving a neighbor. But there really wasn't a lot to that substance. And I was praying, yet, God, do more. God, do more. Take me beyond the walls of what I'm doing and help me to understand and see your eyes and understand you more. And so as I got this trip, we made our way along, and it was a dusty trail and up to this church. And all of a sudden, we were greeted by all these beautiful screaming children. It's like if your kids here all of a sudden were to greet you this morning, and just as moms and as grandmas and everyone just hugged you and just greeted you and loved on you. And I got to meet these kids, and I got to see the joy in their life. And I wept as I saw how little some of them had. And I got to visit in their homes, and we got to go around and visit some of the homes. And one little home that we went to, there was a boy there, and he was with his family, and he was so excited that we were there. And his name was Ebenezer. And he, I will never forget it, when we came up that driveway, he ran to us, and he clung onto us, and he would not let go. And my wife, let's go to a picture here of my wife. You can see here in a minute. I brought them with me today here on the screen. Aren't they cute? Beautiful children. We've adopted both of our children from birth. I'll just say that as an aside. We couldn't have any of our own biologically. So my wife, she'd love to be here today, but we've had a lot of commitments this weekend. So I'd love her to be here as Mother's Day. But my wife would say that this trip changed our life. And some of you don't have the opportunity, or maybe you do, to go on a trip where you get to experience Jesus firsthand in a developing country, but we did. And today, I want to bring the world to you. You, as you made your way in today, how many saw the children on the table? Okay. Those children, I got to visit those children that were in compassion centers. Not those exact ones that are out there, but I got to visit children just like them that were telling us about how they came to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They got to tell us about how they were involved in this church center and how compassion was coming in, and the pastor of that church was seeing moms and dads coming to Jesus, and they were now, as a result, able to bring these children in, and they were being a neighbor to these kids. And this pastor, I'll never forget, came to the door of Abe and ASL's house one night, our little guy that we went to visit, and he said, "No more, Ibn Asel, will you have to go to bed at night hungry with your family, with your siblings. No longer will you have to go to bed hungry. In fact, you will be able to go on and do things that you've always dreamed, and you saw other people that were walking by going to school, and you were wanting to do that, but you couldn't because your father left, and he abandoned you and your grandmother and your sisters and brother." And Ibn Asel had the opportunity for the first time to hear a word of hope. And poverty, as we know, poverty starts in the heart. Poverty started when the fall happened at Adam and Eve, when they fell, didn't it? And from there, it all began to spiral. It began to spiral, and I know this is not God's heart to see this, but God's plan A is that we would not see ourselves be so comfortable as a people that love Jesus, but that we would extend ourselves and use our resources and say, how can I get involved in what Jesus is doing? And as a result, this little boy got to see and hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ for the first time, and compassion is doing that. They are meeting the needs one child at a time, and there's a brochure out there that you can see. Be at the table today. And why I say it's a funny Mother's Day, because mothers, grandmas, today is a day where you're loved on by your family and your siblings and your grandchildren. But I want to say something today, that because of what Jesus has done for us, today might be an opportunity for us to not just come to Fellowship Baptist Church or, you know, to Mother's Day to receive something, but to give something. This grandmother in this house, someone just like yourself, no one different, was actually with this little boy. And if you just go to the slide where I was meeting Ibn Asel, and you can see, she was the one who was teaching them the word of God. As I opened up and I shared about my grandmother and how, there's our little boy when my wife and I got to meet him. He was only 12 at the time. So, so special. And this little boy, he wants to know that he's going to be okay. And this little boy, when he came to the Compassion Center, he found Jesus, and his family found Jesus. Can I hear an amen to that? That is the number one thing I want to say about Compassion's ministry, is that they love Jesus, they love children, they love the local church, and through the local church, folks just like you and I here today, we have 40 kids that are on that table back there, and I know that God's heart is for those children, because as a result, I saw those children waiting to receive sponsors. They're waiting to receive letters from those who write them. There are some grandparents here today that could make a difference, the moms that could make a difference in your kids' lives. We get to watch, as a result of sponsoring our child, Ibn Asel, we've got to see the development of him, and we've got to pour into his life and tell him that he is loved, that Jesus has a plan for his life. And by the way, can I say this? That pastor, first thing he said to him when he got to the door that one day, when everything changed in Ibn Asel's life, Ibn Asel said, he'll never forget the words. He said, "No longer will you have to question God's love for you, that you're not worthless trash, that you're not unwanted, that you are loved." And he said, "We're going to give you a Bible of your very own. We're going to tell you the good news of Jesus. And he reminded him of Jeremiah 29:11 that says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Isn't that what we want for our kids here today? Isn't it? Amen? We want to know that as we teach our kids how to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to go into the communities and to go to whatever it is that we are a part of, that we can extend ourselves because of the resources God's given us, that we can step out in faith and say yes to Jesus. And so it's through Compassion's ministry, we've had the opportunity to see what they're doing, and I'm excited to be here this morning to share with that with you, that they're actually giving age-appropriate Christian teaching and discipleship. They're able to give formal and non-formal education opportunities, healthcare, hygiene, you've heard it all before, supplementary food and personal attention and love. The greatest part that they get, folks, it's not those things. It's when they get those letters and you're reminding them and you're that neighbor who's way across the country who's loving them and they get that letter and here's what it says. Eben Asel, I love you. I've been praying for you. And as a result, he wrote us back and he said to me and my family, he said, I'm praying for you every time you go out to a church or an event and you share about Compassion's ministry. I'm praying for you because he's an extension praying for you this morning because he wants to know, you to know that Jesus loves you, that Jesus loves you moms and grandmas and that Jesus loves this bride and he wants to use his bride. And he wants you to be a neighbor to those who are maybe going through cancer, being in your community, and you're serving someone in this area, and you're going and taking a meal to them, and you're doing, that's so wonderful. But I used to think that it was okay to just stop there, but we can do both. We don't have to just do one thing. We can follow and ask the Lord, what can we do more and extend our resources? This is what Jesus is saying, and when this man heard Jesus say, go and do likewise, to be a neighbor to people. What does that look like? Compassion is here. We don't just, this isn't an infomercial on a Sunday morning, folks. This is the gospel, amen? This is the gospel coming to life. These are kids that are needing to know and hear the good news of Jesus. And the statistics are that 400 to 500 children every single day, this might blow your mind, but it's incredible. 400 to 500 children are coming to know Jesus every single day through the ministry of Compassion. This is what the church is supposed to be. This is obeying the great commandment to love God and your neighbor. This is fulfilling the great commission. So I want to show a video this morning, and it's about 10 hours long. No, it's called Jennifer, and this just tells a little bit about what it is. And you know, I would love, if we had more time, my time's gone, but I would love to be able to unpack more of God's word. I love God's word and what it says because Jesus, he's alive and he speaks through his word. And it says that it's a double-edged sword, right? And above all else, when we respond to Jesus, something happens. Those of us who are sitting here today, when we respond to Jesus, something happens that he takes us even deeper with him. And he shows us more of his heart. Watch this video. It's called Jennifer. And this is one little girl that's life was changed. And maybe this is going to be a Jennifer today on that table. I don't know. But as you watch this, I just pray that as God speaks to your heart, that you'd respond to the good call and the good message of Jesus this morning. Isn't that good stuff? Amen. Yes, amen. Pastor Noel's going to come and just wrap up here in just a minute. But I just want to say the difference, it says right here on the banner, the difference is Jesus. Compassion, thank you for having us in today. I'm not alone. I'm an ambassador for Compassion. I get the opportunity to share on their behalf. I don't work for Compassion like my dear friends Amy and Alyssa and Joy is volunteering, and they would love to talk to you. For only $41 a month, you can be a part of what Jesus is doing. And folks, I know some of you already sponsor here today. I won't ask for a show of hands, but I know some of you are already sponsoring, and you are making a tremendous difference in the kingdom. You are going to see these children one day. Almost every child who gets to know the Compassion Centers gets to meet Jesus Christ. That's the statistics that are being proven right now with these kids. So you may get to spend you will get to spend eternity with these kids and share Jesus in your letters and your prayers. Would you come this morning, Pastor Nolan? I know he's going to wrap up. He used to be here with Compassion as well, I learned. Yeah, and I just am excited to be able to be here this morning with you. I wish I had more time to minister through songs and through the word, but God is so good, and he was met us here this morning. Amen.
Thanks, brother.
Yeah, as well.
Appreciate it, brother.
Thanks, brother.
Yeah, as well.
Appreciate it, brother.
Well, we want to thank you so much, Will. Thank you for Amy for being here as well. Amy's back there with her daughter, and she works for Compassion. But guys, everything that Will has said is true. Many of you know that I used to work for Compassion, and just a fantastic organization, and that I'm very happy has been part of my life and continues to be part of my life. As you know, here at the church, we take very seriously the gospel. We take very seriously Christ's great commission to go into all the world and to make disciples and to preach the gospel to all nations. Many of us are called, some of us are called to go, many of us are called to stay. But one thing, even if we are called to stay, that we do have the opportunity to do this morning is to make sure that that gospel is carried to children around the world. As I mentioned earlier during a prayer, it is the children that our world attacks mercilessly. Whether they be children in the womb, whose lives are snuffed out, 1 in 3 in Canada, in the United States, or whether it be children in countries that are far off. You heard Will reference it, these children being told that they're trash, that they'll amount to nothing. I, too, have been to so many Compassion projects in some of these countries, and I'll tell you, the difference that the gospel makes in their lives and the difference that sponsors from North America, from Canada, make in their lives is beyond anything that you can imagine sitting here. Will, I know when you said this isn't an infomercial, I used to speak as well. And you always feel obligated. You don't want to be a burden on people in church. Oh, here's another thing that, you know. That's not what we heard this morning, Will, from you. That's not the message that's going out. These aren't infomercials. This is an opportunity to see these kids reached with the gospel. We want them to know Jesus. We don't want them to just grow up to be kids who become adults, who are successful, who have lots of money. We want these to be children who go to heaven, who take that message into their communities, who teach their kids one day the gospel. Not only do they receive the gospel, they receive education, they receive food, they receive all kinds of other resources so that when they do grow up, they can be leaders in their community. They can be the ones who have an impact. But not just an impact socioeconomically, but an impact with the gospel, because they're the ones that people will listen to as they grow up. Guys, this is your opportunity. We are a Compassion church, unashamedly, and we will continue to be so, I pray, by the grace of God. I have two sponsor children here. These are our current sponsor children. In fact, these just came in the mail to me, new pictures of them on Friday. The day before, I got a letter from one of them. We get letters regularly. This is another difference that you'll find with Compassion. You actually get letters that are written from the children on a regular basis. I want to read you this letter from my one guy, Natan. Beloved sponsors, how are you doing? I am fine with the protection and peace of God. Listen to his language here. My family is also very well. I'm getting all your support through the project. I received your Christmas gift and bought flour. May God bless you richly. I'm attending accounting class in a degree program in the night. Now, for us, that sounds kind of normal. It's not in these countries for these kids to be in an accounting program getting a degree. I also work for some hours in the day. Please pray that I may succeed in my class. Please pray for me, my family, and country. May the Lord keep us in love, peace, and the fear of God till we meet with another letter. I can tell you beyond almost any shadow of a doubt that if it were not for his sponsorship through Compassion, language would be a lot different than what I hear in this letter. He has come to know Jesus Christ. Remember early on with the letters we received when he was a lot younger, I didn't hear this kind of language, but we prayed for him and I wrote to him so much. Jesus is the most important thing. And now we receive letters like this, which glorify Jesus Christ. Our other sponsored child, every sponsored child we've had, these kinds of letters where Jesus is at the center of everything. Prayer is at the center of everything. Guys, you have that opportunity now to sponsor a child, to write to them, to make a difference, make sure that the church in their community reaches them with the gospel so that they can become responsible, fulfilled Christian adults. Take the advantage, take that opportunity this morning. It's an advantage that we have. I put out at that table, when you go out there, you can look at a couple of my sponsored children. There's boxes, you can open them up, read some of those letters. Don't take them home. They're as precious to me as they are to, as my, I think my, mine are to those kids. But you can get a taste of what to expect if you sponsor this morning. Anyway, we want to thank Will again. So thank you very much, Will, for coming. I wish you had another song. That was great. It's a great song, too. But we're just going to close the service in prayer. And then we ask that you would not only stick around and visit with each other on Mother's Day, especially if you're a guest, get to know us a little bit here at the church. I'm not the senior pastor here. Take some time to meet Jacques and his wife on your way out the door. But do stop by the Compassion table as well and have a look. God may not be calling you to sponsor, but he may be calling you to sponsor. That's fine. But stop and take a look and see what God might have for you and for one of those children out there this morning. They're more than just a face. They're a soul who needs Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, we want to thank you this morning for the message that we heard. We thank you for the encouragement that we received thinking about the work that you are doing around the world. I had no idea 500 children are coming to Christ today through the Ministry of Compassion. I know that there's a tremendous amount of children that are being sponsored, and we thank you for every one of them. We thank you for every one of those sponsors, Lord, Christian sponsors who make a difference in these kids' lives. And we want to pray that there are many more here this morning, Lord. We have 160 people in this congregation this morning, God, and we have 40 of those children on the table. We want to pray that every single one of them would be able to hear the name of Jesus Christ because they were picked up this morning. God, save the children. We look at our world and we see what a mess it's in. And it's because of sin. It's not because of a few bad people, as they say. A few bad apples spoil the bunch. No, Lord, we are all bad by nature. We all need to be changed. The next generation needs to be changed. These children need Christ. Lord, we pray that we would be ambassadors, maybe in a different way this morning, but that we would be ambassadors in the way that we sponsor. But Lord, make us ambassadors in every aspect of our lives. As we leave this place this morning, we go out into a beautiful environment. But it's an environment that will one day pass. And as we go out, Lord, we pray that you would give us the gospel on our lips so that to our neighbors, to our co-workers, to our children at home, that we would be Christ and carry his message forth. It's the only thing that saves. It's the only thing that lasts. Somebody did it for us. We pray that we would do it for others. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.